self-testing. Had this cluster outbreak occurred within the broader community, it could have gained momentum and caused far-reaching reversals on public health and the public health system. I therefore once again commend our frontline health workers and first responders who have been committed to protecting our country against this deadly enemy. The fact that our country has reached and maintained a manageable infection rate is testament of the hard work and dedication of our hard-working health workers. Fellow Namibians, while the disease continues to evolve, including detection of the new Delta Cron variant, to be forewarned is to be forearmed. To be forewarned is to be forearmed. We continue to take evidence-based policy decisions as advised by experts. Local data has proven that vaccinated persons have been less likely to fall seriously ill when reinfected. This because those vaccinated have built up some immunity. Local statistics on COVID-19 related hospitalizations and ICU admissions are of those who have not been vaccinated. Please listen. Those who have not been vaccinated. As at 11th April 2022, the cumulative number of the fully vaccinated persons was 399,304. Translating to 22.4% of the total targeted population, while 47,429 people have received their COVID-19 vaccine booster doses. Let us therefore continue to listen to the voices of reason and please get vaccinated, especially as we approach the cold winter months, which naturally compel us to spend more time indoors and knit more closely together. Let us not become complacent now. It is in our best interest as Namibians to do what is right for the sake of our own health and lives, our families and communities at large. For your own good, please. Fellow Namibians, the current dispensation, which came into effect for a period of 30 days from 16th March 2022, will lapse on 16th April 2022 at midnight. All public health measures remain unchanged and are therefore extended for a period of 30 days until 15th May 2022. All public health measures remain unchanged and are therefore extended for a period of 30 days until 15th May 2022. Our country has been devastated by the impacts of COVID-19. On our health, social, and economic well-being. The government has maintained its priority to safeguard Namibian lives and livelihoods. Therefore, please obey the rules for your own good, your own health. Obey the rules, please. We should continue with the drive to increase vaccinations in order to achieve herd immunity. This will not only limit severe illness and hospitalization, but will also instill confidence in the economy, specifically the tourism and hospitality sectors, which have been negatively affected by COVID-19. There remains a lot of work ahead before we can safely say that COVID-19 is behind us. I once more acknowledge and thank all members of our society, including our development partners and friendly nations, for their support, cooperation, and collaboration over the past 2 difficult years. On that note, I would like to now call the minister to just add some technical matters. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Your Excellency, Dr. Hage G. Geingob, President of the Republic of Namibia, Right Honorable Prime Minister Dr. Sarah Kugungirwa-Mabira, Honorable Ministers, Deputy Ministers, members of the media, dear compatriots, I thank Your Excellency for giving me the floor. It is appropriate to underscore the strong overall leadership that our President has provided in combating the COVID-19 pandemic since it reached our shores in 2020. As at 12th of April 2022, Namibia has recorded a total of 157,914 COVID-19 cases out of 992,038 samples tested. Active cases have increased from 222 during the previous briefing to 296 current. Unfortunately, 7 lives were lost since the last briefing, bringing the number of deaths to 4,021 since the beginning of the pandemic. The number of deaths actually decreased from 19 deaths reported during the preceding 28 days to 7 deaths reported during the period of 25 days of this dispensation, which is a decline of 63.2%. Moreover, the number of COVID-19 patients admitted to hospitals congruently decreased to an average of 12 per day as compared to 22 reported during the preceding 25 days. Similarly, the number of COVID-19 patients admitted to intensive care units has dropped from 4 to 0 by yesterday. On the 11th of April 2022, Botswana announced the presence of a new sublineage of Omicron variant in 4 individuals, which have been designated as Omicron BA.4 and BA.5. This sublineage of Omicron has been detected previously in South Africa, Denmark, Scotland, and England as from the 10th of January 2022. This variant is still being studied in terms of disease spread and virulence. The laboratory pillar of the Ministry of the COVID-19 response is working closely with the UNAM for genomic surveillance and testing of samples from the school clusters. So far, 7 samples have been submitted to the UNAM laboratory for genome sequencing. The Ministry continues to take advantage of low case numbers to build capacity for emergency case management. As an example, 5 healthcare workers recently attended a training on basic emergency care in Nairobi, Kenya, through WHO support. Plans are underway to cascade the basic emergency care and emergency management training to hospitals and other health facilities before the beginning of the winter. In terms of logistics, the current stock level of different items and commodities is adequate at national and regional levels for current needs. The procurement and logistic pillar has assessed the supply mapping system, the capacity of logistics staff and storage or warehousing space at national and regional levels. They have also assessed transport capacity as part of our preparedness and response strategy. The ministry will use this low caseload period to carry out maintenance of equipment and vehicles. The interministerial vaccination mobilization campaign, led jointly by the Ministry of Health and Social Services, Ministry of Education, Arts and Culture, Ministry of Information, Communication and Communication Technology, and with the support from the Ministry of Home Affairs, Immigration, Safety and Security, was launched in Windhoek on the 25th of March 2022. The campaign is making headway in mobilizing learners 12 to 17 years and teachers for vaccination. Since then, the campaign has been launched in other regions and will run for a period of 6 months. The global target is to vaccinate 70% of countries' population to make an impact on the pandemic. At home, by the 10th of April, a total of 467,148 persons have received at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine. And of these, 465,911 are persons aged 18 years and above, while 16,210 are children aged between 12 and 17 years. Collectively, 399,304 eligible Namibians are fully vaccinated. The average daily vaccination uptake keeps fluctuating but remains low, very low, at 491 for the first dose and 191 for the second dose per day. The school vaccination campaign have ignited a positive movement for vaccination among youth in Namibia. As at 12 April, of the 467,148 first dose administered, 3.6% were children and adolescents aged 12 to 17 years. The early lessons from this campaign showed the eagerness from the youth to get vaccinated once they are fully educated and provided with factual information about the vaccines and their benefits. Scientific evidence points to added benefit of boosters or additional dose. As of 12 April 2022, the total number of eligible persons who have received booster dose in Namibia stood at 47,829, an increase of 56.5%, which is an increase from the number which was announced during the last briefing. Therefore, we continue to implore more people to enhance their protection by also going for the booster vaccine. In terms of vaccine stock, I assure the nation that Namibia has enough stock of vaccines. As at 5th of April 2022, the stock level at Central Medical Store was 746,290 doses of Sinopharm, AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson, and Pfizer combined. The Ministry of Health and Social Services, in collaboration with the Africa Union and Africa Center for Disease Control and Prevention, and with technical support from Panabios Consortium, has implemented an online system to authenticate and verify travelers' COVID-19 certificates. This system was launched in November 2021. In addition, The ministry has been collaborating with Panabios as the technical lead to further customize the trusted vaccine as an additional interdependent package used to issue digital vaccination certificates. This process has progressed very well. We are working to officially launch the implementation of the digital vaccination certificate in the next 2 weeks or so. We have engaged our South African counterpart regarding a notice informing travelers to be in possession of vaccination certificate and not vaccinating cards for entry into South Africa, or to present a negative PCR test result obtained not later than 72 hours prior to travel. We have updated them on our situation and have requested them for an interim relief. I now provide further information on the amendments to the Public Health COVID-19 General Regulations, Public and Environmental Health Act of 2015, for the period of 16 April to the 15th of May 2022, as announced by His Excellency the President. Those measures not amended will continue to be in force. On the duration, as has been stated already, runs from the 16th of April to the 15th of May 2022. On the gathering, the number of attendees at public gathering remains unchanged at 1,000 persons per event. Namibia are advised to maintain physical distance, and depending on the size of the venue, the number of attendees should be adjusted accordingly to comply with the minimum requirement of physical distancing. On education, the measure related to education remained unchanged. However, we advise teachers and other staff members and eligible learners to get vaccinated and to observe all public health and social measures, especially the wearing of masks when in closed settings like in classrooms. We have seen of late clusters of cases in school. I wish to dispel the narrative that the recently reported cases of scabies are a result of COVID-19 vaccines. Scabies have been in the country and in the world for many years before the advent of COVID-19 and even before the production of COVID-19 vaccines. The public is implored not to believe such rumors. In conclusion, I reiterate the message that winter is around the corner. When it gets cold, as His Excellency has explained, people tend to be closer together and in close settings. Under such condition, the transmission of COVID-19 is enhanced. In preparation for the winter period, let us get vaccinated and continue to observe public health and social measures. I thank Your Excellency.
Very short meeting. We are going back to other meetings. Any questions? 1, 2, 3, and finish.
Morning, Your Excellency. Morning, Minister. Morning, Prime Minister. Dwight Links from Eagle FM. Just two straight questions for the Health Minister. Doctor, just the first question is just, are we preparing possibly for any wave before winter? Just drawing back from historical events of like last year and the year before. Secondly, is just for a lot of the people that have been asking in terms of like it going to South Africa, what is the difference between a vaccination card and a certificate? That's the only two.
Good afternoon, Your Excellency. Good afternoon, everyone. Lenny Adishena from Namibia Press Agency. My question is for Dr. Shangula. We receive complaints of patients that have been charged for vaccination by private medical aid. I just wanted to find out from the minister whether this is correct. and also whether it will translate to CMAS patients. Thank you.
Thank you. Could you answer the two, please, shall we go?
Yes. Thank you very much from Eagle FM. Whether we anticipate the occurrence of another wave during winter or even before winter. I would like to explain it this way. When major transmission occurs, there are two important elements. Number one is the characteristic of the pathogen, of the virus. Is it highly transmissible or is it not highly transmissible? Is it highly virulent or less virulent? So the characteristic of the pathogen is very, very important. The second element is the host, the population in which it is circulating. What is the immune system of that population? Okay, we have a limited amount of natural immunity, those who have recovered from the infection. And we also have immunity from vaccinations. Now, among that population, what proportion of that population has got protection, either from natural immunity or through vaccination? So these two elements determine whether a wave will occur or not. The higher the protection in the population, the less the likelihood of a wave, the less likelihood of the transmission. Now, if the pathogen itself is not highly transmissible or and the less virulent, then of course the impact on the population will also be limited. So what do we do? It's a very important question. What do we do in order to avert such a situation? There is little one can do on the part of the pathogen. There's nothing little what can influence whether it's highly transmissible or not. That is our own characteristics. But on the side of the population, there is a lot what we can do. By getting vaccinations is number one, and also by complying with public health and social measures. The second question is what's the difference between the vaccination card and the vaccination certificate? Let me explain it this way. Let me use the example of a passport. You have a passport which is electronically readable, and then you have those which are normal passports. Now, the certificate is actually the one which prevents fraudulence. In other words, it's something you it's not easy to forge, because it will have some element which can be read through a machine, unlike the normal vaccination card. That's basically the difference. On the question from the Namibia related to the charge to the clients, we do not charge for the vaccination as a government, as a public health institutions. And we have been providing vaccination to individuals free of charge. Now, if individual elect to go to a private service provider who is charging, we are not aware of that scenario. And to the question whether it's right or wrong, that's actually the choice of the individual. And I think it would only be proper if a client, before being vaccinated, be told beforehand that we are going to offer you this service and we are going to charge you for that. And then the person can make an informed decision. But as far as the government is concerned, we offer this service free of charge. Thank you.
Yes. I just wanted to add to what Dr. Shangula has said in regard to whether medical aid funds charge for vaccinations, COVID vaccinations, to say that probably the question was as to whether private medical practitioners charge for COVID-19 vaccines, because medical aid funds do not administer vaccinations. They are administered by medical service providers. And in situations where a person who goes to a private health services provider is then charged, the medical aid to which they belong may then cover for that. But we cannot imagine why a person would probably choose to go to a private a service provider for the vaccines, because the government does provide these vaccines free of charge. And I want to believe that there are arrangements where vaccinations can be taken even at the private healthcare premises, and they are provided free of charge. I, for example, took my vaccination at Rhino Park and I was not charged anything. I know of people who were vaccinated at Lady Pohamba and they were not charged anything. Now, in regard to medical aid funds, I want to say specifically that whereas the Namibian government has committed and has been providing COVID vaccines free of charge, medical aid funds did come forward and agreed to supplement government funding for the acquisition and transportation and administration of vaccines by agreeing to receive information from the government in regard to who are the people that have been vaccinated that are members of these private medical aid funds, so that the medical aid funds can refund government for the cost of these vaccines on the basis of the cost that we have of acquiring vaccines. But this does not really translate into vaccines being paid for. It's a case of medical aid funds trying to be good corporate citizens by meeting government halfway in financing this very important program. So we commend them indeed for doing that.
Okay, thank you very much. We have to go back and work. Thank you.